Blog Talk Radio.
This is an Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash production. Russell Talk in the D with Martez starts right now. Hello, hello, and hello again. This is Wrestle Talk in the D with Martez, and you know what time it is. It's time to talk wrestling, of course, right here on the platform we like to call Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash. I'm coming to you live from the Detroit studios. You know, it's a very small studio, but it's a studio. Nonetheless, but that's neither here nor there. This is Russell talking to D, of course. Definitely want to pause and thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because you know what? Without him, there's no me. Without him, I can't talk wrestling. Just simple as that. And I always like to start my show off by giving him the praise and giving him the glory. With that being said, we got an exciting show for you tonight. We have a Hall of Famer getting ready to be on this show tonight in the person of Ricky Morton of the Rock and Roll Express. He's coming back on this platform for another conversation. Definitely want to talk to him about some new things that he may have going on. Maybe want to talk to him about, maybe want to take a look back at some things in his career. Just don't know how the interview is going to go. Hopefully it goes well, but I'm definitely looking forward to talking to him. It's not every day you get a chance to talk to a Hall of Fame, you know, especially the caliber of Ricky Morton, one half of the Rock and Roll Express. So I'm very thankful, and I consider myself blessed to be able to have him on this program tonight. Coming up tonight, we got some more good shows. We have the Rated R Wrestling Podcast coming up at 6:30 p.m. Eastern time right here on The Flash. And we also got the Gorilla Position coming up at 8 p.m. Eastern time. Both shows are elite. Both shows give you a different feel, give you a different taste, give you a different outlook on wrestling. But we're going to stay right here before we call Mr. Morton. Let's talk wrestling for a few minutes. Let's talk about some things that's been going on in the world of wrestling. And one thing I want to talk about is the women's division in the WWE. You know, I usually park in the WWE because I love wrestling. I like the majority of the promotions that's out there, but I'm primarily used to watching WWE more than anything. So I definitely want to stick with that. I want to know, will the absence, the departure of Becky Lynch hurt the women's division in WWE, because they basically put all their chips in one woman, and that in the person of Becky Lynch. And it's easy for people to think that the women's division can just move on without Becky Lynch, but I'm just not sure. You know, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not trying to cause any. I'm not trying to cause a ruckus, but now, I hope the women's division can move on past Becky Lynch, because we all know Becky Lynch has departed. We never know we don't know when she'll be coming back. She has decided to step away. She had to step away because she's pregnant, and expecting the child, which we congratulate her with that. but that's just the question of the night, the question to start the show off. Will the women's division be able to carry on? You know, part of me feel like it's going to take some time before we get Becky out of our system. It's almost like a drug, if you will. It's almost like something that you're used to doing. You know, even like a relationship. You know, you've been with somebody for so long. You've been dating this person for a long time, and you guys just decide to break up for whatever reason. And it's so hard to just completely eliminate that person out of your system. And I can equate that to Becky Lynch. I think it's going to be hard for those that loved her. It's going to be hard for those that hate her to get her out their system, because we were accustomed to seeing Becky Lynch. We were accustomed to seeing Becky Lynch being pushed. We were accustomed to hearing so much chatter about the man. We were drunk on Becky Lynch. And I think it may be a little adjustment process for many of us to be able to handle wrestling without her. And there's a lot of wonderful female wrestlers in the women's division in WWE. Don't get me wrong. You know, those women are top-notch. You know, I look at Naomi. I expect Naomi to benefit off this. I expect maybe Carmella to benefit off this. I expect definitely Sasha Banks. I expect Lacey Evans to benefit off this. Nia Jax, obviously Asuka has already benefited off this. Even Shayna Baszler, I think this is her time to benefit off this. So, you know, I think in some ways it's a good thing that Becky is not there anymore for the foreseeable future. But we shall see. We shall see what happens. I know we're pressed for time. This is Wrestle Talking to D. And at this moment, we're going to – I never done this on air, actually placed a phone call for you guys to hear the phone ringing on air, but it has to be done this way. so let's place Mr. Morton a call. Ricky Morton, that is. Not Ricky Martin, but Ricky Morton. Hello? Hello, Mr. Morton? Hello, Mr. Morton? Okay, maybe we're having some technical difficulties with Mr. Ricky Morton, Hall of Famer Ricky Morton. We're trying to get him on the show. Let's see if we can get him a call back. This is live radio for you. I guess you got to be ready for situations and things like this to occur.
Hello.
Hey, Mr.
Hello.
Martin, this is
Lisa. Ah, fella, what's up, man? I can hear you now.
Oh yeah, I don't know what was going on, but I thank you for being patient with that technical
sure.
difficulty.
Oh, I was trying to call you back.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't.
All right.
I definitely don't want to waste too much of your time. You know, I always like to tell the guests that I appreciate them accepting the invitation, because I know you probably have thousands of people trying to get your attention and trying to get your time. So I appreciate
you. Yeah, I do.
Now,
I appreciate you doing this, because everything I do, I help the boys that's on the independent circuit that don't make no money, okay?
Yeah.
Hello.
Sir. Yes, could you hear me?
Okay, now. I'm ready when you are, fella.
Oh, all right, let's do this. You have had a decorated career. Like, you're a Hall of Famer. You won championships everywhere you went. But I want to start this the interview off by talking about NWA, if you don't mind, the current NWA product. How has that been for you to be a part of that NWA power?
Okay, you know, we're having a little problem here. Let's start this over again, okay? Because I couldn't hardly hear you then. Now, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you well. Could you hear me?
Okay, let me see here. All right, let's go ahead. Let's start this all over again. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's okay.
Hey,
Could you hear me good?
Technical difficulties over here. You know?
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Sorry
All
about
right,
that.
Let's go.
Yeah, I wanted to know because you're a decorated champion. You've been wrestling for a long time. You've won championships everywhere you went. But if you don't mind, I wanted to start off with the current NWA Power product. Even though I know you guys are on a hiatus right now, but how has it been working on that promotion and with that show? How has that been for you doing that?
Well, you know, first of all, any business that you're in, you got to have good relationships. Especially with your boss men and the guys that's working above you. And understand me, that's the reason you never see me around big companies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd last about 30 seconds WWE. You know, I done cussed everybody out, told them, you know, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm the kind of guy that don't – I'm a businessman. To put matches in seats. It's not about your friends. It's not about this. It's not about –
Mm-hmm.
It's not even about you. It's about the company. And Billy Corgan and David Lagana, you know, the two guys, they understand that. They work with you. And they're good for the boys. You know, the more wrestling companies you have, it's better off for the boys. And in my lifetime, that's the reason I always stood up for the boys. They came before anybody did. And in NWA, you don't have to do that. Billy and David, they're right there. They understand and they want to bring sort of those old school wrestling back. Not, you know, not 100% old school because, you know, you have to change as the world. But man, for me, just being a part of it really is shocking. And I tell people this all the time, you know, in our business, before you can do it and be really successful at it, you have to understand it. And you hardly find any people that really understand our business.
Wow. Why do you think most people don't understand your business? Because I agree with you. You know, even myself as a podcaster, as a wrestling fan, I'm even learning that there's more layers to wrestling than what I thought before. But why do you think that is, that people don't understand the business?
And okay, it's because they've not been thorough trained. They didn't go through the years. You know, nowadays, man, these guys train people backyard or think they're made of vendors, in which they're not. See, our business is not based on did I get all my shit in, okay?
Right.
No, that's what our business is not based on. Even as me, you know, I've been 9-time world tag team champions. But you see, being a champion, I don't want to be a champion because the people pay to see me beat the heel. But the heel always screws me every week. I don't even like to win. See, if I'm in a program, I don't want to win because once I win, the program's over. You know, and it's about everybody coming back every week and to watch him, I'm going to be in a match next week where he can't screw me like he did last week, but he finds out another way to screw me. Then the next week I come in a match where he can't screw me that way. You see, this is what that you're not understanding. I watch the guys work. You know, watch WWE. I'm not knocking them, but everybody on there looks the same.
Yes, sir.
They all work. You know, they're they must have the worst writers in the world, to me anyway. I watch the show. I think it absolutely sucks. And it's not because of that, because they're trying to find, I guess, I don't really, that next John Cena or that next Rock, but it ain't going to happen that way. Just by seeing somebody that does a great high spot, that, you know, everybody can leap down, drop kick, and leapfrog. But there's only very few people in this business, as of right now, that know how to work. I have people that ask me all the time, let me sit down and pick your brain. No, you can't pick my brain. I got to get into your brain and make you understand where I'm coming from.
Right,
you see?
Right.
And, hello?
Do you think, and I totally agree with you about today's product, especially in WWE, you know, and I'm not trying to take shots at them, but it's a hard watch sometimes, you know. and I'm not trying to throw you a hard question. You don't have to answer it if you don't want to, but do you think WWE has diluted the wrestling business because of these
It's not really diluted because, you know, in the wrestling business, you can never kill it. It's the greatest entertainment in the world, but you have to get the people, you know, you got to change up sometimes. You just can't keep the same guys on top. You know, I can watch WWE every week and I can tell you he's going to win a match right when they walk out the door, you know, because I've been around the business that long and the people are starting to see that. They're starting to see through a lot of things. And remember one thing in our business, and I'm on the independent circuit that works. I was going to tell you too, everybody that's out there, I have my own show that comes on YouTube every Sunday at 5:05. This week it'll be a tape because, you know, it's Memorial Day weekend. But after that, 3 weeks after that, we have the Paul Morton Cup. It's in honor of my dad. But it's every week. And watch, I just don't give them everything at one time. You know, watch TV. And they have amazing athletes there. Amazing. Yeah. But some of them, they're starting. If you notice, even all you big companies are starting to do bigger spots going, you know, to another level. And you watch, dude, they're going to get hurt bad. You know, I seen the kid of the night almost get hurt real bad. The Mexican guy from AEW.
And Phoenix.
When he fell on the back of his head. And it's just one, you know, it's just one mistake like that that tears and kills your whole building down. But let's go to this now. The hardest thing in the world, and my hat's off to all the boys, is because they're working without a crowd. That's a hard thing to do because in our business, you feed off of the crowd. And when you have no crowd, it's hard. So I wanted to say that. Now, when it comes to the boys, and I'm not trying to be, I'm not knocking the boys. I'm knocking at people that's in charge because there's a lot of other things you could do to fill in two or three more minutes on your TV show to make it entertainment.
Right.
It's instead of, you know, shooting Hugo out of a damn cannon. You okay?
Yeah. Hey, and you brought up something interesting. I definitely want to talk about your show on YouTube in a moment. But the fans, you know, and for years I didn't think us as fans were that important, but I feel now that the fans are definitely missed, and the fans are just as much as a part of the show as the wrestlers. Do you agree or disagree?
I agree, buddy. Gosh, that's the whole thing about our business. And you see, the way I'm on the independent circuit, I'm not with a big cut. I work for NWA Power, but I'm not. But I still work. You know, independent shows, and without the man, you feed off the foul, off the crowd. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you said something about the crowd. And any of you young wrestlers out there that are wrestling, this is what you got to do sometimes. I see a lot of guys that go out there and they do a lot of spots. You hear me?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
But the next time you have a wrestling match, you go do all your stuff in the ring, but when your match is over, I don't want you to go ask your girlfriend how was your match. I don't want you to ask any of the boys in the back how your match, and I damn sure don't want you to ask your best friend Joe how your match was. They're always patting you on the back and telling you how great you are. I want you to go find somebody in the crowd that you don't know, you've never seen them before, they ain't have, and you ask that person, how was your match? And do you know what kind of and this is my whole thing about, because our wrestling business ain't dead. And the answer that he's going to give you is he's not going to remember match. All he's going to remember if you won or if you lost. You hear me? But listen to him. He's going to tell you, oh, you're the one that got cheated, put his feet on the ropes and beat you. You see, that's how you draw money in our business. You know, it's not about him. It's not him. I mean, if you want to impress me, eat an apple, shit a fruit salad. And sorry about my language, but that's just the way it is in this business. You don't got to impress anybody. Our business is about putting, especially on the independent circuits, putting our asses in those seats. And my thing is, if I do good for a promoter and I draw good for him, I have a good match. And especially if I work something to come back and it does a lot better, well, you see, they're going to use me a lot about that, you know. I've been on some of these shows, man, where the guys, you know, their music messes up. And they turn bipolar. look at me, buddy. I told a guy the night, guys, what kind of music? I said, if you want to play something, pick what anything, rock and roll. It don't matter to me. I don't care what kind of music it is. And really, if you don't want to, I don't need music to go to the ring. You see what I'm saying? That's not a part. And when you guys learn with the fans to understand a bit, when you can learn how to make everything you do from the moment you walk out that curtain, that first step to tell a story for your whole match, then it's when you start to learn how to work. A lot of people can do a lot of stuff, but you don't have many workers in our business. And the reason why is because the guys that are training these days, especially at NXT, they don't know. You know, they had a good run, and it's all right. See, it's a different level. You can always have a good run. You can always be very big on the – but that's only a few that's ever really worked on top. At WWE, that's The Rock, that's Steve Austin. You see them kind of guys. That's why them guys got over, because he understood their masses. Cassius Jack or Nick Foley, what you want to call. See, he understood. He didn't have the best body in the world. He didn't have nothing, but he understood our business, and he worked. You know, I run my show every week. When I get there on Sunday, well, Sunday's already here. My show today is working for next week.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? And that's how you draw money in our business. And the guys that they got in charge there, they don't know how to explain it. They don't know how to do this to make people understand our business. And there's a lot of, you know, I mean, a lot of guys out there that are such great shape and everything. But, you know, and then you start to look at everybody that was saying they all look the same. You know, I have a belly, but I work out. You know what I'm saying? I'm 63 years old, and I still go to the gym 5 o'clock every morning. And I will be in the morning. But I'm not cut like that because everybody looks the same. I don't want to look like everybody else. I want to have the mullet. Well, nowadays I got older, it's half mullet. Then I have a plan. But saying that again, that's just it's people need to be trained a little bit more. That's why I have a wrestling school, but if you get a chance, check it out. It's called School of Morton. It's badass, dude. I don't have some of the greatest guys in the world, but they understand me. And every week we get more and more people watching our show.
Wow. How and I know I only have a short time with you, but how important is it to have a great dance partner in the ring, you know, to be able to execute a phenomenal story in the ring? How important is that?
Okay. I got what you're saying there. And, you know, it's when you step in the ring with – see, you're only as good as you're going to let you be. If I was going to wrestle you tonight and I just went in the ring and sat down – just sit down in a turnbuckle, what can you do? You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yes, I do.
That's
I
what
agree.
You said about that and executing. Mm-hmm. But you got to learn how to work together. But sometimes you do. This is what I was saying to you earlier, and I'm bouncing around like a ball. If when you realize it ain't what you do, it's how you do it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like me. The simpler the finish is in the match, it's the easier it is for the people to understand your match. Okay. And what you just done. You know, I've watched, you know, I was over in Winston-Salem. They had the night, you know, of the young boys to come to wrestle, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the very first match, you know, the guy mm-hmm. runs out. He gets up on the second rope. Okay, and he's cheering. Here comes another guy, gets up here, and they get on the top rope, and he suplexes them off the top rope. Now, okay, and where are you going to from there? I mean, what else can you do besides shoot him with a 38? Because you just gave him that. And he's going to kick out on one. You see what I'm saying? Okay, yep. Now where do you go from there? And I actually sat there. And I watched this, and they wanted me to watch the matches, and I got up, and the promoter said, where you going? I said, man, I'm going to the bar. This sucks. You know, I mean, this is what you got going on. And then if you're at an independent show, and all the boys that's on the show, go out and watch the matches or see what people are doing. 9 out of 10 times, I mean, when you're on a show, there's 700 Canadian destroyers, 500 dives out of the ring, 2,000 Hurricane Coronas on one show. So nothing means nothing. Okay?
Exactly. And I hate to jump over you, and I apologize. That's what kind of frustrates me as a fan. You know, I'm not trying to be a jerk or anything about wrestling, but you do see the same thing. Each and every Monday night, over and over, you know, it's like
me when I go to these shows now. I tell the promoter, I said, "Listen, I want to go on before intermission." Well, man, I got to have your main event. The people will leave, but they're going to leave anyway because after like the third match, they don't see it. I mean, what else are they going to stay for? You know, they done lost the people. You can't get them up no more. Do you see what I'm saying? I can do that, but it makes me work 6 times harder. And all you have to do is be a babyface to sell. When you start selling, you get the people back. But, you know, nowadays everybody's afraid to sell. Now look at Terry Hulk Hogan. You know, Terry Hulk Hogan, I mean, he wasn't one of the greatest workers in the world. But one thing he did know how to do was to sell. And it was his whole match. He sold, pulled the shirt off, made the comeback and dropped the big leg. And it worked every damn time. You hear me? And it worked every time. You didn't see him dive over the top ropes. You didn't see him do that. He did his interview, brother, I'm going to buy the die. He starts a match off, does a little something, and the heel stops it and he makes a comeback and beats your ass. And that was it. But you know what? Everybody understood it.
Absolutely. I agree with you. We're talking to Hall of Famer Ricky Morton right here on Wrestle Talking to D. We got a few more minutes with him. If we can shift for a minute, you talked about your show on YouTube a little earlier. Could you expound on that? How did that get started? What made you come up with the idea to create a show to be on YouTube?
Dude, I wanted to start a wrestling school. I'm a man. Well, man, hold on for a minute, dude.
All right. You hear a dog in the background. What kind of dog is that?
Yeah, they're elephants. No, I'm just kidding. And my baby's in there. You know, they're so protected. I'm back here in my room, and somebody knocked on the front door. And
what do you have, pit bulls?
No, buddy. I have the one that's the loudest. She's a little chihuahua and a half. I don't know what they are, dude. Another one's a lab. He's beautiful. Okay. His name's Doug. Here he comes in my room. Yeah, his name's Doug. If you look at my Instagram, the baby face Ricky Morton, you'll see a picture of him on there. He's go. Now, get back to you saying about I live up here in Bristol, Tennessee, and I always wanted to have a wrestling school. I never did it. And listen, my wrestling school is in a little town called Chucky, Tennessee. And in that town, there ain't but two buildings. It's 30 miles away from me, and I'm telling you, it's like the Field of Dreams. It's nothing there, nothing. I just had Crimson and Jack Dane come up to my school last week. I working on a few things. And Kane, he's the mayor of Knoxville. He came up one day, and all of them went, "Huh? In the hell did you find this place? What did you put a wrestling school here? But if you build it, they will come." And now, I couldn't afford, but I didn't make the millions of dollars. So I opened my school up. It was had a homemade 14 by 14 feet ring. I was just in one little corner of a building. And I'll tell you how it's grown. Now I have the whole building, upstairs and downstairs. We have three big rings. And I still have my little ring because that's where the kids start off when they come. And I have kids on my show that will absolutely blow your mind. I mean, they're really good, but I take my time with them. Now, I don't sit there and teach them. I have other people to teach them headlocks and to teach them. Yeah. But my thing is I give them more than just wrestling. My younger kids. They got to have their grades up before they can sit over in the corner. But to tell you an example, one, I had a kid that come to me. He has cerebral palsy. And when he walked through the door, his mother's with him, and he's, it's a wrestling school. And she's begging me, please do not let him join your school. He has cerebral palsy. But I'm not like that. I could see and look in his eyes, and I brought him there. Now, I'm going to tell you something about this kid. He was in like the eighth grade when he came to me, been bullied on, okay? And I'm not a miracle worker, dude. I'm just Ricky Morton. But I give these kids something to look forward to because half of them have no parents, that really give a shit about them. They're too busy working or strung out on something, but this kid come to me, and so I brought him into my school, and his left arm was smaller than his right, and his left leg were, and he walked kind of, you know what I'm talking about, kind of still. So I put a sleeve on, covered that arm up, put him long heights, covered his legs up, and then during that while, until he became a senior in high school, he lost 88 pounds. Got himself in shape. Matter of fact, when you learn how to work with him, you're a great worker. He became making Elfson School and not wanting to go to the valedictorian high school to a 4-year scholarship at ETSU College over here for being smart. And I think he's got one more year left on his until he graduates. Changed his whole life. And to really be blunt with you, and I hope it's to hurt nobody's feelings. When you're a guy like that, and he got up. He became a good-looking kid. You hear me?
And yes, sir.
He got his first little shot of a woman. And it changed. Look here, I bet Daddy don't know about this. It changed his mind. But I put that the nicest way I knew how to say that. You hear me?
Hey, man, it's sometimes hard. Hey, you said it the nicest way ever, man.
Yeah. Well, I just didn't want to go on there and shoot you a line of crap and everything. But. And I wanted to tell you something, fella. I wanted to tell you thank you for having me on show. And I'm not trying to cut you off. I got stuff going on around here. My dogs, they're going to eat me up here in a minute if I don't go see what's happening.
Absolutely.
But thank you for having me on the show.
No problem. Huh? Thank you for coming on. Thank you for coming on, sir.
Yeah, hey, listen to me. The people that are listening to your show, you can find me on Facebook, Ricky Morton. Instagram, TheBabyface Ricky Morton. Twitter, Real Ricky Morton and School of Morton. You can find me on all that. But if you get a chance, watch my shows that come on Sundays at 5:05 Eastern Time.
Yes, sir.
On School of Morton YouTube. And everybody out there, my doors are always open. If you want to learn, if you're really serious about my business, come and see me, because I've seen guys that's been in the business for 10 years. They come to my school and learn more in 2 hours than they learned in 10 years. That's the part. It's the, see, our business is being at, it's based on being at the right place at the right time, but no matter what they ask you to do on that show, you know how to do it, and that's what I teach you. Have a good day, buddy.
You too. God bless you. Talk to you later, okay? Thank you. All right, there you have it. Rock and Roll Express, Ricky Morton has, he was kind enough to join us tonight on Russell Talking to D, the people show. That is, Russell Talking to D is the people show. Hopefully you guys, who's ever listening, hopefully you enjoyed that interview. I don't take it lightly when these people say yes to coming onto your show. A lot of these professional wrestlers, celebrities, who, however you want to categorize them, they have a lot of people trying to hound them down to be on their platform. So I appreciate him for being nice enough to come on this show. So God bless him, and we appreciate that. I hope you guys liked it. You know, there's a thousand other people that could have done a better interview than what I did, but I just asked the questions that felt right, you know, for these few minutes that I had with him. But this is Russell Talking in D. I'm going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we only got a few minutes left. We're going to take a phone call and definitely want to talk about some of the things Ricky Morton had to say, especially the fact that he believes that wrestling is, in so many words, it's bland. It's, in so many words, it's boring sometimes, because we see the same people doing the same moves on the show. And I'll get deeper into that when I come back. But I agree with Ricky Morton. Everybody looks the same. Everybody does the same things on these wrestling shows. And it's just not WWE. But let me take a quick one-minute break, and we'll come back. This is Russell Talking to D with Martez right here on Open Talk Radio 313, The Flash, blogtalkradio.com.
We are Kayfabe, the people's band. We are the only sports entertainment cover band. We are going to play all of your favorite wrestling theme songs from the golden ages of the 1980s all the way up to today, from all or as many wrestling promotions that you love near and dear, from the NWA days, the WCW, to the WWF, or of course we know today is WWE, Ring of Honor, or New Japan. They got some theme songs out there. We will be playing them. And there will be some songs that we're going to cover that may not necessarily be wrestling theme songs, but they may have been songs that wrestlers have used in the past. Like, for example, the late, great Junkyard Dog, Hall of Famer. Back in the day, in the early 80s, he used to come out to a very popular song by the rock group Queen, another one by the Dust. That's just one example. And we are going to be playing everywhere we possibly can. Birthday parties, corporate events, wrestling shows, Comic Cons, anime conventions. We may even do a few anime songs, so, you know, we're open to a variety of things, but our bread and butter is going to be wrestling. And
All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. This is Russell Talking to Diva Martez right here on a Thursday night on Open Talk Radio 313, The Flash, blogtalkradio.com. We feeling good about tonight. But guess what? We have two more wrestling shows coming on tonight, so don't disappear on us. Listen to the shows. Call in. Have a little bit of fun with us tonight. We have the Rated R Wrestling Podcast coming your way at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That's with the Southwest Texan. We also have the Gorilla Position coming your way tonight with Steve Aaron and the Macho Ghost, which is always a sensational show. So don't Don't forget about that. Please call in and tune in to those particular shows. So we got one at 6:30, and then we have another one at 8 p.m. But this is Russell talking to D, and I say that about 1,000 times. And we only have a few minutes left, but I definitely wanted to bring to the forefront what Mr. Morton had to say about today's products, specifically really WWE, but I think all the promotions are pretty much doing it. But a lot of times when you're watching these wrestling shows on TV, I agree, everybody looks the same. There's nobody's original anymore. Everybody's doing the same moves. Everybody's doing the same spots. You know, the storylines are pretty bland. The promos are pretty bland. And this is no disrespect to these professional wrestlers, because I'm not a shock jock. I'm not here to take shots at these wrestlers, but I am here to keep it real. And I know many people, they can look at my craft and they can see holes within my craft. They can see flaws within my style of doing radio. But that's with anything in life. And but back to what I was saying earlier, everybody's doing everything the same. Everybody's jumping out the ring into the crowds. Everybody's trying to do the next big move. Everybody does look the same, you know? You know, at one point, you had people like Yokozuna. You had people like Bret Hart. You had people like Stone Cold. You had people like The Undertaker. You had people like The Big Show. You had people like Hulk Hogan. But the common denominator in all that in which I just said is that they all look different, and their gimmicks were totally different. But in today's wrestling, it seems as if everybody's gimmicks looks the same. When I think about Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns, there's no huge difference between those two. It's just not. When I think about Charlotte Flair and Lacey Evans, there's no huge difference. When I think about Alexa Bliss or Sasha Banks, there's no huge difference between those two. Even when you think about people like Baron Corbin and Drew McIntyre, there's no huge difference. And that's the issue I have. Everybody does look the same. Exactly what Mr. Morton said. And I'm not trying to kiss his... I'm not saying this because he said that. I truly believe that. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to my man Jason. He's here on Wrestle Talking to D. Good afternoon. Good evening, Jason. What's up, brother?
I agree with everything that's been said, because you see, we got people like Sasha Banks. Like, I see you're trying to do a tribute to one of your idols, but you're not putting any kind of excitement into when you do like a 619 in your matches.
Right.
And then we got people like Bayley, who's champion. But you're not really defending your title. You're pretty much letting Sasha defend your title for you.
Right. And I couldn't agree with you more, man. It's like, sometimes I'm not going to lie, sometimes I forget that Bayley is the champion on SmackDown, because her championship reign is not really noticeable, because she doesn't defend it like a true champion. Now,
right.
She will be in a big time matchup this Friday against Charlotte Flair, and this is where I give Charlotte credit at. They have Charlotte
exactly.
Wrestling a lot. You know, Charlotte is like, you can't say Charlotte isn't a fighting champion. You just can't say that.
Right. And you figure, like we played back on last night's show, and like what they said on SmackDown last week. Last time Bayley was champion, Sasha Banks made Bayley relevant when she was NXT champion, and now she's doing the same thing with SmackDown.
the, That's true. Because I remember when Bayley was the champ, when she first got the Raw, when they first called her up from NXT. And let me just say this. We're not trying to diss Bayley. We're not trying to dog out Bayley. We're just keeping it real. When Bayley first came on the Raw, and she actually beat Charlotte Flair for the Raw Championship, you know, her title reign was very bland. It wasn't exciting. You know, I think she lost the belt to Alexa Bliss. You know, and then when she became the SmackDown champion for the first time, people didn't even realize she was champion. Everybody was just thinking about Becky.
Right.
Intercontinental title, but to lose all the other ones, which are starting to look like bland and dull.
Right. I agree 100%, man. I agree 100%. Other than the Brock and Pop, you got a few more minutes to go.
I'm not going to miss it. It's like a lot of
WWE, they are calling this the greatest match ever. Some people are really dumbfounded that they would even promote this match as the greatest match ever. It's a possibility that it can, but it's kind of hard to think that Edge and Randy Orton, although they are famous members, it's hard to think that this match will be the greatest match ever. I've seen a lot of matches in my lifetime. It's been a while.
This is an Open Talk Radio 313 Flash production.